Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside former Packer Brian Belaga, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the Brian Belaga Homer Hour. Today's show dedicated to all offensive linemen like Brian Belaga who wish they would have been born 20 years later. They would have gotten a $30 million signing bonus like Zach Tom. It's not like they need food stamps, but it's all about when you were born. Better Brian Belaga than Forrest Gregg, as far as date of birth. Joining us now is Brian Belaga. If I was Brian Belaga, I'd be sad today. I'd be happy for Zach Tom, but I'd be going, damn, if I was just born. How many years later? 10?
Yeah, 10.
10, that's 10. Nothing. That's a week.
Yeah, no, happy for Zach Tom. Very happy for Zach Tom. It's a well-earned deal for him, right? Well-earned. I think he
you should be happy for you. You predicted that he was this good. You told us. I've been riding your coattails and said they're going to sign him. Why? Because Belaga said he's really good. And that's what happened. You nailed it. Explain to people what you saw from the beginning that made you believe he was as good as the dollar signs say that he is.
Yeah, I mean, I just think over the last few years, last year later, I think people gave him a little bit of a hard time because of the injury. But like, I'm going to go even into earlier last year.
When's the first
year.
Time you saw him play or practice?
I think he played a little bit early on in, right. You know, in his rookie year, but mm-hmm. Besides that, I'm going to go into his first year officially starting it at right tackle. And that's kind of when he started, you know, to play really well. And you saw, obviously, to me, what I saw was his footwork right away and how he got out of his stance and the way he moved his feet. To me right away, I was like, all right, he has that part of his game. And the minute you have that part of your game as a tackle, everything else can come into place. If you have the feet, everything else can come into place. You can figure out your hand placement. You can get stronger, which he needed from judging based on his rookie season and watching the little bit he played as a rookie. He needed to develop strength, which a lot of guys do coming out of college. I mean, that's part of the deal. But the feet were there, right? Like, and that's the most important thing. And then as the season went on, you saw the hand placement. That got better. You saw the confidence of technique and trying different things. And then he was going against higher end pass rushers and he was stoning those guys. And it just got better and better and better. And to me, those are all the signs that this guy, the future is very, very bright for him. And by the end of that first, I know he was, I think, in his second year at that point, but I look at it as his first full year starting. I was like, where did he come out of? Like, this doesn't normally happen, but at the end of the day, Green Bay always finds these guys. They always find guys like the Bakhtiaris and the Lindsleys and now the Zach Toms later in these drafts that end up being really good players, and he's no exception. And then you kind of saw what he did last year for the team, popping his peck in the offseason, grinding through that rehab and you know, making it into training camp and going through that season last year where I thought he played well at the beginning of the season, going through that rehab and playing through it. And then obviously later in the season, you could see the fatigue and kind of probably strain that he was dealing with that injury. And it wore on him. It wore on his technique, and it wore probably, and he was favoring it. And when you favor something in pass pro, DNs are able to pick on it really quick, and they could see that you're you're showing some weakness in some part of your body, and they can target it, and they did on him a little bit. So I don't like making excuses for him. I'm not going to, but you can see what you, I mean, I saw what was clear as tape, but I'm going to take that out of it, because that, to me, there was a chance that was going to happen, right? There was a chance that was going to happen, and it did. But regardless of that, this is a very talented tackle, and very talented tackles don't come around all the time. And there, and then I told you this, I told Jason this, Tausch and I continued to talk about this all the time when I was on Wielding Tausch and when Jason would get on with us. Green Bay does not let very talented young tackles walk out the door. They just don't. It's not something that happens. They never have, and they never will, because they're too hard to find. They just are.
Why are they hard to find? You just taught me. I can tell you what I do. I'm going to start looking at feet. I haven't figured out exactly what I'm looking for in good footwork. I would find guys that are basketball players. I don't know. You have to tell me what I'm looking for with good feet, but that's what I'm looking for. All the other stuff, you can.
Not everyone has them.
Okay, they're quick or what? Quick feet or
okay, so
balance.
So having quick feet and having balance, like, you can have those things, but it's how you're able to keep a wide enough base, not bringing your feet together, able to move laterally with quickness and with power while defending rushes at the same time against these guys, right? It's able to keep a base, stay in a powerful position, be able to absorb power from defensive ends, but then on a dime, be able to change direction left and right and still keep your balance and still keep agility, and then be able to redirect again when a defensive end makes a third move to try to beat you that one last time, to try to, you know, swat a ball down or make another quick move to try to make one last dive at the quarterback to get a sack. It's those little things that you see that you can tell if a tackle has the feet that can separate him from other guys. Like, and that's not everyone has them. Like, and that's why you see throughout the league, teams are dying for offensive tackles.
They need to hire you as a tackle expert. Well, how long does it take? How long did it take you to see that Zach Tom had the potential? Not that he even showed it yet, because I'm assuming what you saw is what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it probably took me probably three games into that first full year of him starting, of watching him, and three consistent games of seeing him play.
Right, because you need to see enough plays.
Yes, you need to see it enough.
Can you watch a high school kid?
No, because I don't know if the talent he's going against is good enough yet. Because they may be bigger than the kids they're going against. You know what I mean? They just may be more powerful.
Whatever you say is what I'm learning. All right, college.
Yeah, you can see it in college. You can see that in college. Because you can see the difference between kids that are gifted from a just size standpoint, and they're just, again, more powerful than everyone else. And then you can see the kids that are very technically gifted and obviously blessed with the strength and everything, but they're technically very gifted with how they move laterally, and they're very good. And like a kid that I think is very good technically is the kid that the Patriots drafted. I think he's very good technically from LSU. I'm drawing a blank at Campbell.
Will Campbell.
Will Campbell.
Did it take? Take us through of watching him and the process.
I watched him a few times when LSU played, when he started to get brought up that, you know, he was probably going to be a high pick. So I watched him a couple times. You know, I don't watch LSU football much. So, like, you know, it's not something that, you know, I watch a lot. But I watched a couple games and I thought he was very good. I thought he was a very good tackle. And then when, you know, the combine and those things started to come around, and you're able to watch a lot of cutups, and you're able to get people start to make a lot of tape cutups, and you're able to go through these things, and you're able to see against good competition when he's going against Georgia and he's going against Bama and he's going against these other teams, and you're able to see him take on power and redirect out of it really quick against really good competition, you're like, All right. That's technical ability. That's not just he's a strong kid and he's able to hold these kids up. He's redirecting out of this really good. His feet are really good. And that's what that to me screams like he's going to be a good tackle. Like, and listen, there's multiple reasons why it doesn't work out for guys, right? I mean, they can have good ability and there's a lot of reasons. There things just happen. But for it to work out, for it to even to be step one, for it to even have a chance, you need to have the footwork. It needs to be there. Because if it's not there, there's no way it's going to work out. And to me, like, that's a guy where it just jumps off the tape that it does. And Zach Tom was a guy that it jumped off the tape that he has the footwork to do this. Now, if he develops these other things, he's going to be very good.
What is the difference between what you see on a left tackle versus a right tackle? Because when you're talking about Zach Tom, I'm assuming you're speaking about right tackle, not left tackle, or am I wrong?
So with Sheed, Sheed does a lot of good
that
things.
That would be Rasheed Walker for those who aren't close to him as.
Yes. So Rasheed does a lot of good things. The thing that gets Rasheed in trouble at times is that he sometimes gets lazy with his set. Now, I don't mean that like he just doesn't care. People need to understand what I'm saying with that. When I say get lazy with a set, that means that the angle of the set isn't proper to where the defensive end is. There's a proper angle you need to take based on, obviously, there's play calls and obviously with that. But if you don't take the proper set based on where the defensive end is, or if you don't get the proper width, you're creating short edges and short corners for defensive ends.
Would that be the same problem for him if they moved him to right tackle or not?
Yeah, I mean, it would be the same thing would happen. And right. And it's and what that could be is that could be just a quick mental lapse, that those things just don't, you know, you don't think about it, or you're not dialed in at that one exact moment. Those are just small things that, you know.
All right, I got a larger thing for you. Zach Tom, the largest signing bonus ever. If I don't want to pay Rasheed, I'm moving Zach Tom to left tackle next year. Next. What am I missing?
I don't think you do that.
Why not?
No, I don't think you do that.
He's got the largest signing bonus ever. I'm not giving the guy the largest signing bonus ever for an offensive lineman to play just right tackle. Left tackle's more important, correct? At least a little.
Well, I mean, the right tackle from Detroit makes $100,000 less than the highest paid left tackle.
So it's pretty close.
Yeah. So and they're not moving him to left tackle anytime soon.
Well, but I mean, if he could play left tackle as well as right tackle, where would you play Zach Tom? This is Walker's last year. I'm not the expert like you are, but I'm the expert of the finances. They're not. He's done.
Well, okay. So, like, listen. Yeah, I mean, you're right, because they're not going to pay him when they're obviously competing him with Jordan Morgan.
Right, and they're already paying big money now to two of the offensive linemen. You can't pay big money to all of them. I don't know how many you can. Philadelphia's paid a ton to a number, right? Can you maybe pay three? I don't know. We can explore that.
You could maybe pay three. I mean, not all big. Not all big. Two can be big. One can be intermediate. It just depends on your cap situation. Okay. You know what I mean? It just depends on the situation. But when you have a first-round pick also on a rookie deal, that probably means that you want that first-round pick that they're having compete at left tackle to assume that role, would be my guess, right? Yeah. That's what appears.
So Walker, he doesn't have an eye. Walker's done after this year, correct? He doesn't have.
Listen, I don't want to say anything's for sure.
No. I mean, his contract. This is the last year of his contract.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, at some point.
And that's why this makes this, again, this is why this makes this camp battle fascinating, Because say for some reason Rashid does not win this camp battle.
Correct. Which I don't believe is going to happen, but we'll take it as.
But we'll just say he doesn't, right? For whatever reason. What would be the reason why Rashid would just sit there and say, I'll play backup? Why would he? Why would his agent and him not demand to be traded? He's on a free agent year. He's been a starter for the last 2 years.
But he can demand everything he wants. I don't got to trade him. And somebody will get hurt.
You don't have to trade. But not like, but not, see,
and I need him because I'm not that sold on the other guy. You've taught me how bad it can be when you don't have a backup. Well, I want a backup, and he could be the backup, right?
Didn't you draft Belton? Didn't you draft the second round pick?
Yeah, but it might take him a year.
I get that, but I'm looking at it from Rashid Walker's standpoint.
Okay.
I'm the player. I'm the player right now. That's all I'm saying. Like, I'm just the player. I get people who want to look at it from the Packers standpoint, right? I understand that. I'm all for that. I get
it. But the Packers say, we want you on the team. What's he going to do?
I don't know.
I know. Well, you put yourself in that situation. We want you on the team. We, you know, that anything could go if we pick the first round. Mick, Walker's staying on this team all year. I'm not losing him, even if he loses the battle, which I don't think he will. I need that depth.
Yeah, no, they definitely, you need depth for sure. You got to have depth. You got to have depth. But at the same time, it puts Walker in such a, if that happens, right? Which again, if Walker performs the same way he did last camp and later throughout the year, which I think Rashid performed like really well from like week five on. Like I really do. What I was mentioning earlier about how he kind of got lazy in his sets parts of the earlier in the year, he got rid of that a lot later in the back half of the year. And I thought he performed really well. If he performs that way in camp, I just don't know how you tell him that. Sorry.
Well, like, I'm in that group. I think this is all made up. I think you know what teams do and what they say.
Well, they certainly made up that Zach Tom was competing for a job. $88 million worth of a job.
Yeah, the largest signing bonus ever for an offensive lineman, which I want to discuss when we take a break, because this is all this discussion about guaranteed contracts, what isn't, and not. The 30.2 signing bonus is, to a degree, a guaranteed contract. Like, so if he's got that much, how much will he have earned after a year? And then there's a certain number of years he's guaranteed to be on the Packers because of the amount of the signing bonus.
Yeah, depending on how that's all, it's how it's paid out.
Right.
Essentially, it's how it's paid out. Correct. Yes.
So the issue of guaranteed money, I don't want to say it's bogus, but there is guaranteed money in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. There's guaranteed money.
Not all guaranteed. Well, they're, you know, they're what? I guess there have been a couple, but the issue isn't guaranteed. It's we want it all guaranteed. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm not doing that because players get hurt too much. So I might pay more than I have to. Like, he's making more than his average contract, right? The first year with his signing bonus. So I'm overpaying early because the odds of him being healthy for short term. I don't understand. I mean, I should probably argue this with Jason. I understand why it's this way in the NFL. Players are significantly greater injury risk than any other sport.
Yeah, well, listen, and I think, well, we can talk about, I mean, I know we probably got a break. We can argue about the injury risk. I just think if we're going to go and argue about something, we should probably argue about the percentage of the contract that's guaranteed, not completely guaranteed. Because you're not going to win that fight. You are not going to win a completely guaranteed contract fight.
Unless the contract is so small. Yeah, well, yeah. You know, we're going to pay Zach Tom $20 million and it's all guaranteed. Lottie frickin' da.
Yeah,
all
exactly.
Right, we'll continue this with, man,
$30 million signing bonus. That's a good day. Not as good as Damian Lillard, who got $113 million to never play, but still pretty good. Next.
This is the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Partner time. No one does it better than Brian Bulaga.
That's right. I am here for my friends at Surfside. It's summer is heating up, and there's nothing more refreshing than an ice-cold Surfside iced tea and vodka or Surfside lemonade and vodka to break the heat. Why I like Surfside so much? It just tastes cleaner than all those other drinks you see on the shelf. It doesn't have that sweet, nasty, sugary taste that makes you regret drinking it and leave that nasty taste on your teeth after you get done drinking it. There's also so many great flavors, like my favorite, the half tea, half lemonade, peach tea, raspberry lemonade, and so many more. Made with real brewed tea and real vodka, Surfside is only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and 0 bubbles. That's right, no carbonation, so it's easy to sip and enjoy no matter what your plans are this weekend. Look for the can with the sunset stripes, sold at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Where did it go? How did it get
there? Could I get there too? Who will be the Packers' starting left tackle this season? I expect somewhere between 85% Rashid, or Sheed, as he's called on this show, Rashid Walker or Jordan Morgan. It's over, even before it started. But what numbers do we have? Pebble put this up, the Discount Leaguer Twitter poll question.
You go to the Homer Hour here on Twitter, where you can take the poll, or you take the poll at ESPN Milwaukee on Twitter as well, our Discount Liquor Twitter poll question of the day. Early on in the voting process, who will be the Green Bay Packers starting left tackle this season? 85% of the vote say Rashid Walker right now. 15% say Jordan Morgan. Go get your voice heard right now. Take the poll at the Homer Hour at ESPN Milwaukee out on Twitter.
We have not heard from Brian Bulaga and his vote just yet.
Yeah, I think if he performs in camp the same way he did later in the season, like, I don't know how he loses the job. I don't know how it's possible. Like, so I have to say Rashid, and unless Jordan Moore, like, again, I can't say anything about Jordan Moore because I have not seen him play the position. He's coming off an injury. I don't know much about him, right? I've seen some of his college tape, but that was at the college level. He really didn't get an opportunity at left tackle in camp last year because the competition was over within, like, I don't know, what was it, a week and a half? If that, and maybe it was sooner than that. Green Bay announced that Rashid was the starting left tackle. So unless Jordan Morgan comes out and is just absolutely lights out and this competition gets dragged out longer and longer, I mean, that would be the only way. And I think if we look at this, if the competition goes longer and longer and longer, that's a sign that potentially Jordan Morgan is gaining ground, right? Like, that to me is the sign that that's where we may have a challenge to that. So that would be the thing I would look out for. Because if Sheed's going to get, you know, if he's going to win this thing, you know, outright again, I think they will call it by probably, you know, it would say family night-ish would be my guess. Maybe the first joint practice would be, you know, accurate. But if this thing goes all the way up till the last joint practice, there's a chance that Jordan Morgan is pushing and he's performing at a high level. So that's the way it could break out. But, like, I still think if Rashid performs the way he has been, man, like, I don't know how you sit him. I don't get it.
Well, I'm of the opinion, even if Morgan wins it, once the season starts, it'll end up going back to Walker. How about that?
Well, again, unless Jordan Morgan gets in there and he performs really well.
Right. And I don't see that happening on a consistent basis. He'll either get hurt or
Well, I hope for his sake he doesn't get hurt. Well,
so do I. I mean, I hope the best for it. I
amuse people. They go, like, you argue with Bulaga over an offensive lineman? Yeah, if he takes a position I don't agree with, I steal all his opinions. This Rasheed Walker thing is crap. Dude's got the job. He's better. Morgan will replace him next year, and how they fit him in, and Morgan can play multiple positions. They have a great setup in the offensive line. And if Elton Jenkins wants to be mad, then we're going to put, who's the other one? Ryan?
Stone Ryan.
Put him at center. And they have so much quality variety now compared to last year. Right?
Well, they do. Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of options. They do. At this point in time, they have options. Well, they have options. Based on having the competition at left tackle. They have the left guard. Obviously, Elton not practicing.
But they've got the two best guys they think are the two best guys. They're paying him a ton of money. One comes as a free agent. Zach Tom's the other one. And then the other three positions, whatever, right?
Well, I don't know if the left tackle job's a whatever position.
No, here's whatever. Walker is serviceable.
Oh, yeah.
He's not going to all of a sudden get bad. We know bad. We saw bad in the Philly game. So he's serviceable. If Jordan Morgan's better, then fine. But I still think you want him, because what if somebody gets hurt? Then you might move Morgan to another position and then put Walker back at left tackle. That, to me, would be awesome if Morgan's that good, because then you got two good left tackles. You've told us there aren't that many tackles. What was your phrase? Walking around. Well, if you have two that could play left tackle, that's a great situation, right?
Well, yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it's a great situation to have. I mean, it's just, it's a great situation for the team.
And you got
it's
two guys I think that could play center. Am I wrong in thinking Ryan could play center? Jenkins is better, but Ryan could play center, right?
I think he can play center. I don't know. I don't know at what level.
Okay.
I can't say for a fact at what level he can play center. Like, yeah, I think he could snap it and do that, but I don't know at what level, so I don't want to comment on that, right? Like, he did it for, like, I think a series against Philly at the end there. So, like, that's hard to make a true – that was when, like, the wagon was already on fire at the end of that Philly game. So, like, that's really hard to, really make a true assessment on what was happening at that point in time. So, I just think they are in a very good position up front. They are in a good position. You don't know anything about Belton yet, right? He's another wild card there that I know there's been a lot of talk that he is a developed guy. I mean, I understand that, rookies do sometimes need time to develop. He is a second round pick. You normally don't want to have guys that normally second round picks are guys that you may want to be able to rely on to play if needed immediately
and be pretty good.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know if I love the term he's a wait a year or more to develop. I don't know if I love that. And I doubt he loves that as a player. So, like, I don't want to go all in on that on him. I want to see him play because I want to see him, right? Like, I want to see where they put him and I want to see how he plays. So, like, I'm not too sure if I'm, like, sold on, like, let's see him develop yet. Like, that's kind of. All right. Like, kid played a lot in college, right? Like, he's not like he didn't play like 15 games and now he's in the pros. He played a lot of snaps. So, like, he's a product coming out of college. So, like, let's see how he does, right? Like, let's not say he needs to develop. Like, let's give the kid a break and let's see how he does. But from a standpoint of depth, if Sheed does win or I guess lose and you say they keep Sheed, yeah, they're in a really solid spot from a depth standpoint. Like, you have a starting tackle, you have a swing tackle, you have a really good, backup in Belton that you can count on to play tackle. because that's where he played in college. And I guess if you want him to play guard, he could do that as well. You have a backup center in Monk that did it all spring, and I guarantee he'll get reps in camp with the ones, I would be my guess. So, yeah, you're in a really good spot. You're looking pretty solid up front. So, yeah, I like where they're at. I think if you look at where they're at now compared to where they were at last summer, you would feel as a staff a lot more comfortable. I'll just say that.
Yeah, and they could handle some injuries. I think any offensive line, if I'm the GM, I want to be able to handle some injuries. Certainly be able to handle one. I kind of want to feel I can handle two. And it would require, as you alluded to, maybe playing someone a little sooner than I would like to.
Yeah.
Did they play you sooner than they would have liked to?
Most likely.
Yeah, I don't know.
They probably did. I don't know if their intention was to play me at right tackle, but they did.
Yeah.
Right, like that was the case. I mean, that's what happened. So I always look at it this way with injuries. Maybe people look at it different. I don't know if you can. You want to be able to absorb injuries, right? But it depends on who the injury is.
Of course, yeah.
Right,
They don't have a replacement for Zach Tom. There's a significant drop off if somebody else plays right tackle.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we saw what happened when Elton left. So there's a significant drop off there as well.
Yeah.
So,
and I would think the guy that the second round pick,
Banks. Yeah.
They would have been in a much better situation this year if it happened than last year, right? I mean, I don't know if that's why they made the pick, but.
Well, you mean Belton, if they had Belton. Yeah. Yeah, most likely. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why there was such a heavy investment in that position. There was a big investment from Goody in the position. And then obviously people look at the investment, paid Zach Tom, paid the guard, second round pick, big investment this offseason in the group overall.
See, because I don't know that you're in this club, but I just assume somebody's going to get hurt. Like not if, but when. And if it doesn't happen, it's an amazing year. I don't know when they're going to get hurt. You're going to need, someone can look it up and figure it out. You're going to need at least six offensive linemen, six and a half, seven. I don't know. But you got to go. You're an idiot if you don't go into every season assuming an offensive line injury.
Yeah, I mean, you just go. I mean, you certainly go into it thinking six are going to have to play. Yeah, right. I mean, whether that's throughout a game, right? Like maybe you start with the same five every game, but some point throughout a game, a guy gets rolled into, right? And he can't finish.
Yeah,
and a six has to go in. Yeah, so like you assume that a sixth will have to play. So yeah, that's the way you always have to go through your, you know, through your depth planning process and look at it that way. But Green Bay to me looks really good on paper from a depth standpoint.
Right. And I would say the worst thing Goody did last year was what happened against Philly.
Yeah.
That can't happen.
Not ready for that.
That can't happen.
No. And like, and the thing is, Goody has always been like, if you look at a lot of the position groups on the team, right? I mean, you can't stack every position group, right? Like, right. You can't do that in the modern NFL. It's just impossible to do it. But if you look at a lot of key groups, right? Like, and big men are normally in a certain way, like a lot of them have veteran depth in certain places. That room was not that way at all. Like there was nobody there. And you can't have that going in.
And let me ask you, because I'm betting that the people in that group knew from some point or said it, something better not happen or this is going to get bad. They knew before it happened what would happen if it happened.
Very good chance. Right. They knew very good chance. Okay. They were like, if something happens to either X, Y, or Z, this could go south. Yeah.
And I'm 100%. Not saying it cost them the game, but it prevented them from having a chance to win the game.
Yes, it did. It gave them a very slight chance of being successful on offense and scoring points.
Right. And Philly was great in other things. All right. Third quarter coming up with various music stages, amusement rides, and delicious food options. The Wisconsin State Fair is the event for endless family fun. Right now, we'll give away 2 tickets to the fair. Don't miss out on the fun. Caller number, can we do 30? Is it 30 million? Caller number 10, because, yes, the Brewers have won 10 in a row. 1-800-990-3776. And if you were watching last night, you saw very clearly how bummed the manager of the Dodgers. He just couldn't comprehend. Whatever they did didn't work, and whatever they did, the Brewers were better. And 1-800-990-3776. Caller 10 on the Carbless Talk and Text line will win 2 tickets to the Wisconsin State Fair. If we got them tomorrow and the Brewers win, you know what caller it's going to be tomorrow, Pebble?
11.
11. Caller 10, next. The tickets are gone, yes. The Wisconsin State Fair, and you know ahead of time. Brewers win again tonight. Caller number 11 tomorrow. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour honoring Rich offensive lineman Zach Tom. The largest signing bonus ever for an offensive lineman at 30.2. That was from Rob Demoski. I don't know that that means he's the highest paid offensive lineman. I don't know how you decide that. I will defer to Brian Bulaga. It's just too complicated trying to factor in everything.
I think you have to go guaranteed, not right. Just signing bonus.
Right, but I don't know. The signing bonus is the only part that's guaranteed, right?
No.
I mean, they could cut him today. Cut him tomorrow, right? And then all he'd get is a $30.2 million or something?
Yeah, but the guarantee, there's guaranteed in contracts.
Right. Part of like, it. Yes, they'll come out with that number. You're correct. They always give you signing bonus, guaranteed, and then the total money is the last and most insignificant of the three.
Yeah, the $88 million is insignificant. It's what he's definitely getting over. And I always look at it over, he's a 4-year deal. So it's technically a 5-year deal because this 1 year, then a 4-year extension. So I look at it, this year doesn't count. So he'll make he'll have a small base salary this year. So I look at what money is he making over essentially the next three years.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the way I look at it.
Because we know at the end, they're going to let him go.
Well, how old will he be?
I don't know, but it's like he's got the largest signing bonus ever, and you always can add, at the end, they'll let him go. Right?
I don't want to be mean, but...
It's not meant to be mean because you lived it, so when you got yours, I'm sure that's what you said, right?
I mean, yeah, I knew there was a very good chance that after the next one, there wasn't going to be a next one.
Right.
Yeah.
So get as much as I can, as early as I can. That forces them to stay with me as long as possible because they have already invested X amount of dollars. All right. Now back to your training, Offensive Lineman School by Brian Bulaga. All right. What's the difference in terms of ability, foot, whatever, between David Bakhtiari and Zach Tom?
The difference in the two?
Right. Bakhtiari, left tackle. Zach Tom, right tackle. And is the difference in the two generally what you'll find in the difference between a left tackle and a right tackle on almost every team? Or is it just with these two or because of Bakhtiari? I don't know.
Well, they're two very different players, and they're two different style players. Zach Tom, the way he sets and the way he plays is way different than David. David, and they're cut different. What I mean by that, they're cut different. They're built different. Like Dave's a very long-legged player. So David was able to gain ground and doesn't look like he's gaining ground. And it looked like, oh, man, he underset that defensive end, but he really put himself in a perfect position, but because he has such long legs, but he was in perfect position where normal guys, like guys with not really long legs, like myself and like Zach Tom, like we had to have a normal pass set where we had to get ourselves out and back and into space and create depth with our natural set. So we look different than David. So our things had to, we had to look a certain way to create with, where Dave was just a little bit different and he could do different things. They were just two different players. And I think what Dave was so good at, and which I'm not putting Zach on Dave's level, because I think that's unfair. Dave's an all pro, multiple all pro type tackle, Pro Bowl left tackle, right? Like Zach hasn't gotten there yet.
Yeah, but I just want to let you know, sir. I appreciate you calling in. Brian Bulaga has made it clear to me that he's going to be that good. I'll be surprised if he's not, based on what the doctor of football has told me. Am I overstating your belief in him?
No, I think he can get those honors. I think he can get those honors. I think he can get those honors. He just has, and I'll just be super blunt and honest, he's got stiff competition to beat out at right tackle. He's got to beat Lane Johnson. He's got to beat Penei Sewell at Detroit. He's got stiff competition.
What
do
they do as well, or possibly even better than he does?
Well, they're like Lane Johnson hasn't given up a sack in like 600 pass rush reps or something like that. Like he's
the Scotty Schefter of right tackle.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like he's just Lane Johnson's just super consistent. And when you play in that Eagles offense, and you're able to run the ball as effectively as them, it protects the tackles so well. They can be super aggressive in pass protection, where they can jump set defensive ends, where the defensive ends think it's run, but it's really pass. And guys like Lane, who have really long arms and they're massive human beings, can block the DNs from seeing if it's a run, and they can just lock onto guys. And Lane's got really good feet too, don't get me wrong. But it protects the tackles really well. And Lane's been in that system forever, and he's just a really good tackle. And then in Detroit, it's very similar. They run the ball so well that it protects tackles to be aggressive in pass pro. So, like, now look what Green Bay's starting to do, right? Like, they're starting to run the ball really well with Jacobs. And what that does, that allows tackles to be a certain way in pass protection, allows them to be a little more aggressive. It challenges defenses and defensive ends to play that run first and not just jet up the field and play pass like, unfortunately, like Dave and I had to do for a lot of our career, is just play pass, right? Like we defensive ends knew, like, hey, there's a 60 or 70% chance that this is going to be a pass. So if we get beat on a run, that's okay. We'll try again the next time. It'll probably be a pass.
So how many times did Bakhtiari go, come on, 12, run the damn ball every once in a while. Let's go.
Well, I mean, we could tell 12 to run the ball, but I mean, it's the play call and all those things that come in, right? And
if he's not going to.
No, if it's an advantageous look, we're throwing it. That's just the way it goes, right? Like it says, and listen, there weren't too many looks that weren't advantageous to throw when you looked outside and you see Tay and you see Jordy and you see James. I mean, they were all pretty good looks to throw the ball. So it was just the odds, right? Like, I mean,
I'm just asking. I know what I would have been in the offensive line.
We said it to ourselves.
Oh, okay.
Can we at least run the ball?
I'm shocked that Bakhtiari didn't say it out loud. He's the kind of guy, to me, who would say it out loud. But he didn't, huh?
Not during the game.
Not in the huddle.
No.
You're up by 14. Come on.
Not in the game.
All right, we'll break and get to the fourth quarter. Next.
Welcome back to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
You go to the ESPN Wisconsin app. A lesson on how you could make money deciding and figuring out which tackles can play in the NFL. Brian Bulaga told you everything. So do you think I could do it? Or do I have no idea because I can't see what you can see? What do you say? I can handle the truth. No, that was a no. All right, we can move on. You know, you're just too nice. Not a chance, buddy. I've lived it. All right. What do you do with $30.2 million with a signing bonus? You have 30 seconds.
Well, more than just about half it's going away.
What do you mean? What do you mean half tax, it's going away?
Taxes, pay your agent, all that fun stuff.
Really? Half? Wow.
Yeah. Yes, of course. Uncle Sam's got to get his cut.
All right, now we're down to $15
million. Yeah, and you put it away. You don't need that much to live in Green Bay. You put it away.
That simple. Wow.
Put it away.
Not going to buy a car. Not going to get a second house. Not going to buy a boat.
Well, if he's, I don't know if he's got a wife or something like that. You know, I don't know. Maybe, you know, if you want to get your mom. So I don't know. I don't know what he, whatever he wants to do. But I mean,
it's not $30 million is what you want to tell everybody. Not that you're going to feel bad.
No, it doesn't cost $30 million. So whatever it is, put the rest of it away.
All right. Go to ESPN Wisconsin, the app, and watch and listen to this again. I know I am. I want to be a tackle expert. Watch a guy in college and say, Hulaga, watch this. I say this guy can do exactly what you said. And now here, no, Homer, you a little more work. Next.